I'm Andrea Collins.
And I'm Shelley Zorn. This is Let's Talk Thomasville,
a podcast about storytelling through perspectives of the past, our value of today, and our imagination for tomorrow.
Welcome back. This is Shelley Zorn with my partner in crime, Andrea Collins, this morning. And we are really happy this morning because we have a Thomasville business with us, a husband and wife team who are also really good friends. So we're really pleased to have them. We've got Brian and Jill Higgins with us this morning from 1861 Distillery. So welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
First of all, talk about how did 1861 come to be? What was like the seed of the idea? How did you have the idea for a distillery?
For those who are listening, they can't see, but the wife is like pointing to the husband.
It gives you a good idea of like what everybody's role in this business is. Yes. Yeah. And let's tell them what your role is. So Brian is more he's the person who's actually making all of the
spirits.
All the good spirits. That's and right. Then Jill, would you say you're probably more the back in logistics, business, marketing side?
I like to do the marketing side and the planning, the fun stuff, classes and parties.
Yeah, I can tell when I see on Instagram and Facebook that you're the person behind
the creative.
Yeah. But Brian, how did this started with you, right? Was this a hobby at first?
Well, you could kind of say as a hobby. I've always enjoyed using resources that nature provides to us. In the past, I've had gardens, I've made beer, I've made wine, I've been a beekeeper, and then kind of the natural progression was, let's see if we can make a whiskey or a bourbon. So, you know, kind of did a little bit of research and found out I had a couple family members that had been involved in it in Missouri in the past, and then...
So were those family members like bootleggers, or just doing it as a hobby?
Well, you really...
or can you tell our audience today?
Well, you really can't tell them. I guess you really couldn't call them bootleggers because in Missouri, the laws are a little different than they are here in Georgia. So there you can legally own a still and you can make so many gallons as like head of household.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
So my uncle's been making it for many years. And then when I started asking about it, he said, well, you know, your grandfather used to make it back in the 1950s on the banks of the Osage River with other farmers.
And that's so your family's from Missouri?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Well, and I'll have to give my little personal story here, and Andrea's tired of hearing it, but my grandfather was from Mississippi, and he wasn't just doing it for fun or a hobby. Like, it was serious business, and he was making it, transporting it. He was like a real-life bootlegger. So he was not that anymore by the time I came along, but we have a lot of infamous stories about my grandfather. So I was hoping you had, like, an outlaw grandfather like mine, but...
He may have been a little bit of an outlaw, but he wasn't... You know, back then in the 50s, they didn't have the technology we have now to store grains. So for them, they'd get together and whatever leftover grains they had, they'd turn it into whiskey and then they'd use that throughout the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. So when you called them and you started to pursue and finding out that this is what they were doing, what was your first step since you'd already had experience with sort of the beer, the wine, the beekeeping? You were self-taught? You self-taught yourself all those things?
A lot of research, a lot of books, a lot of YouTube videos. But no, it was just practicing, you know, a lot of trial and error and practicing and just, you know, self-taught.
So, Jill, what were you doing while he's practicing this trial and error? Are you thinking, where's this going? What's he doing?
Well, I have a more entrepreneurial spirit, so I loved it and was encouraging them. They would talk about and dream about opening a distillery, and, you know, I was on my computer designing logos in my head. I didn't think they would ever actually do it, but I was having fun on the back end, just starting to dream.
Yeah. So how long do you think you did it kind of for fun or as a hobby before it, like, seriously, okay, we're going to do this. This could be a business. How long do you think that?
Kind of off and on for about 3 years before we started getting kind of serious with it.
Yeah. So tell me about the name 1861 Distillery. Why'd you name it that?
Well, when we started researching kind of names, it's kind of like what she was just alluding to. You know, we were sitting around and we're like, what would we even name a distillery? And then, you know, we kind of looked at, well, Big Oak's been taken a lot of times, and Plantation's been taken a lot of times. So I started, you know, my degree is in history that I got from VSU, and I was wondering, why is Thomasville so different than if you follow down the tracks, you know, Boston or Quitman or, you know, all the way down to Savannah, and then, you know, why are we different? So then everything kept leading back to the train. So April 16th of 1861, the first train pulled into town, and that was, engineered by Mr. Naylor. And it was kind of neat because of the Gulf Atlantic Railroad, and it originated in the northeastern part of the United States, came all the way down the East Coast, and came across South Georgia. In fact, it's a 13-hour trip from Savannah to Thomasville.
Oh, wow. I don't know that.
Yeah. So it didn't matter where you got on the train, but this was the very last stop. So if the train cars were full of people and they got off in Thomasville, started exploring, and you imagine the weather in April in the northeast United States, especially in the 1860s, is probably still pretty cold and nasty, and you get off here and it's an amazing spring day. So that started leading to winter homes and developing of plantations, and you know, that really led to the diversity of people that we have in Thomasville today. So
I love that story. Why. That kind of tells the story of Thomasville. Yeah.
So when you came up with the 1861, Jill, are you the one who created the logo with the train in the background? Because that's really cool too.
I did, but then I also hired someone to refine it. And take it to where I felt like.
So you had the initial concept, and then the expert who creates logos developed that piece. I love it. Every time I have company that comes into town, we'll visit. And they're like, so what's 1861? Why 1861? And so I'm like, well, do you see the train in the logo? And, you know, kind of go through. You tell a much better story than I do. Mine's more of like a 50,000-foot level and probably not as accurate. But nonetheless, so 3 years ago, you started with the concept, and you guys officially opened when? Do you remember the date?
August 16th.
Okay, August 16th of last year, 2021.
Yep, and then September 11th was the grand opening.
Okay, so September 11th was the grand opening, and you guys have been open for how many months now? Five months?
Right at 6 months.
Right at 6 months. So half a year. What can you say to any of the listeners who are thinking about starting a business? What have you learned within the 6 months of from your opening date to
and
right
I
now?
And I think that there's a lot to learn in that 6 months, but I know you also, because we've talked to you, had a lot to learn in the startup process,
right?
You know, like getting there. Is that tougher than the 6 months?
Definitely.
Like, okay.
Yeah,
The getting set up.
Because you get to enjoy the business once it starts. It's hard and it has its challenges, but you're in it and you feel like, okay, I've accomplished this much. Uh-huh. We're open.
So. Right. Yeah. So what was so challenging about the startup process?
Well, part of it was the building renovation, you know, and with COVID, something that should have taken 2 or 3 weeks ended up taking 2 or 3 months because workers would come in, one of them would get sick, and then the whole team would have to leave, you know, for the 2 weeks. So you know, that's all changed, and things are much
better
now.
Supply chains and all that.
Yeah, supply chains are getting a little bit better. But really, you know, my advice to somebody that wants to start a business is, you know, definitely start with your city council, start with your city manager, you know, find out, you know, if the rules or the laws, you know, that govern with your business, make sure they're all in place before you really get started. Because, you know, we had a 7-month challenge of getting the alcohol ordinance opened up and rewritten to allow a distillery and brew pubs. You know, and if that's something we would have thought about in advance, that 7 months could almost have been erased if we'd have been working through that. But then on the flip side of that, I think the city was kind of waiting to see, are you really going to do this also?
Right.
So
because, I mean, I guess when you really break it down into layman's terms, when you're thinking about starting a business, you're thinking about the idea behind the excitement of the creativity, what you're creating. You're not necessarily thinking of all the legal aspects and the policies and procedures. And how would you even just know immediately, like, oh, I know to ask this question in order before I can move to point B.
Yeah. And one thing that helped us out greatly is I reached out to several of the other distilleries across Georgia and said, you know, hey, we're new at this. We're just getting started. You know, what kind of advice you have? You know, would you be willing to, you know, can I pay you so much per hour to kind of mentor us through this process? And we got just a ton of great feedback from everybody. Yes.
So I think that's another testament. And Shelley, you know, the last couple of folks who we've interviewed that have small businesses, that's been the takeaway, is that you've made the effort to reach out to others for help. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think that's maybe a defining moment for successful businesses versus those that aren't successful, is that they think that they can just do it all on their own. And it's sometimes difficult to reach out for help. So knowing that part of your story was a critical and a pivotal moment for you to be able to figure out what to do and what questions
to ask. Get advice, do your research, get help. Don't be afraid to get help. Yeah.
When it comes to finances, whatever you think your initial estimate's going to be to open a business, just add about 30 to 40% onto that, and you'll get close.
That's good advice. I feel like that's in a personal life too, you know, business, personal, no matter what it is.
You're going to renovate your house, just, double that. It's going to be more.
Right.
This leads to this and this leads to this. So what's been your biggest challenge, you would say, during startup and also these first 6 months? What do you think was your biggest hurdle that you've overcome?
I would say my biggest hurdle right now has just been waiting the 6 months to start opening whiskey and bourbon barrels.
Getting
very close to that point, and it's probably initially the most asked question over the 13 months of renovating the building and going through the permitting process, why the name 1861? So we have a whole wall dedicated to that question. And now the biggest question is, when is your whiskeys and bourbons coming?
So let's talk about that. Explain to the audience what products you started with, what spirits you started with, and why you're waiting now on the additional products and what all you have. Tell the audience what all.
Well, right now we currently have a vodka that we do, a sugarcane rum. Out of the sugarcane rum, we break some of that off and make a spiced rum, and then some of that goes into barrels to age it. And then we also do 3 gins.
My favorite.
And then we do 2 different bourbons, one being kind of a traditional tasting bourbon, and then the other's a smoked cherry bourbon. And then we get kind of, we do a rye whiskey, and then we kind of reached out there and experimented a little bit, and we're doing a quinoa whiskey and a grain sorghum or Milo whiskey.
Interesting.
They all have completely different flavor profiles, and we definitely have something for somebody.
So when will those be ready for the public to try?
The first ones will be coming out around the first week of April.
Okay.
We may get into it. Right now we're waiting on the labels and everything to be approved by the government. Then we can get the labels ordered. But we've already emptied the first barrels of the aged rum, and then the first batch of rye whiskey will be coming out literally in the next couple of weeks.
That's super exciting. So one thing I've noticed from my personal experience when I ran a floral business was what I thought the market would want, I would buy a lot of it and thinking that they would buy it. And then I would buy a couple of other things thinking that it may not sell. And it was always the opposite. It's like I could never really nail down what the consumer's preferences were. It was always opposite of what I thought. So do you feel like that's kind of similar to the bourbon and the whiskey? Like you've got the gin, the vodka, the rum, and now everybody's coming in and they're asking for what you don't have available just yet.
It is. And to, I guess, expand upon that, gin has been our biggest surprise, that and the spiced rum. We made a little small batch before Christmas, and we sold the 53 bottles in a week and a half. And then the gins have just been, people just love them because we do a cold compounded gin instead of your traditional gin. So it has, all the colors, the flavors, it's not your typical clear gin that has that really strong juniper forward note. This is just very well balanced, and it's been a big surprise to us.
I didn't even drink gin till about maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I started watching this show on Netflix, and they're gangsters, and they look real cool in the 1920s with their gin. So I started with, Hendrix, and then I got yours. And so now this is trash to me now. I'm just this just I have it on my bar cart, but I don't use it. I use yours. It really, I joke, but it really, truly is good. It's very good.
Yeah. We have people come in almost every day and tell us, I don't like gin, so I will not drink that. And they leave with 2 bottles.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So that's another example of what you like. Yeah. So it's interesting because I guess it's reciprocated on the other end. What the consumer thinks they won't like, they end up liking.
Uh-huh.
And then what the business is selling to the consumer, they think the consumer will like, and then they end up going somewhere, to something else. So. Right.
Well, and this distillery has been, kind of fell into both of our kind of strengths. Jill was a school teacher for 9 years. And I finished up my career in the Air Force as an instructor. So we actually really enjoy the education piece of the distillery, whether it's, how to taste, the different spirits or how to make the cocktails or even how to distill. We just hosted our first moonshine class this past weekend.
Oh, wow.
And we have the next one coming up in March, and we'll be having that class probably once a month.
That's exciting.
So it's fun, the education piece. So it's like Jill said, you have people that walk in and go, oh, I don't drink gin. And you educate them a little bit, show them that there's different products out there, and introduce them to a cocktail or two in the tasting room, and it totally changes their mind sometimes.
Right. So as a business that's in the business of selling spirits, did you receive any pushback from from anybody in regards to a distillery? Because, you know, when we're talking to business owners, a lot of times we're talking to different types of service providers. I mean, really, they run the whole gamut. You know, they're small businesses that specialize in different sectors. But it's rare that we get to sit down and talk with someone who's actually developing a distillery and distilling their own.
Or developing a brand new product.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very unique.
And a product that some see as controversial. Mm-hmm. So did you guys run into any?
I think the question also leads to, because I know I've talked to you guys about this before, that, you know, maybe there's a perception that it's a bar. And you guys do it very differently because you're a distillery. So, yeah, speak to that. How I find you very different. I mean, you have different hours. You've got food. It's really about tasting it and trying it, buying it, taking it with you. It's not really about – it seems family friendly. It doesn't seem like
– It is, and that's what we were after. We never had any intention of being what people would consider a bar. Mm-hmm. Our hours do – come into play with that. We close at 9 p.m. We really just wanted to be a warm and welcoming place where everybody comes in and feels comfortable, and a place where you can slow down and enjoy time with your friends and family. And that's what it's all about to us, is just hospitality is what it really comes down to. And I think we were very surprised that we really didn't receive more pushback. We didn't receive any at all. I remember when the Times Enterprise first posted on Facebook, I just braced myself for a deluge of comments, and they were all supportive.
Well, Thomasville's different. I mean, it really is. People say it's a special place or a place apart, but it's different. And I think you've got visionary people here that realize what you were doing, and you have achieved that. You really have. It's warm and welcoming and fun,
and you are right about the unwinding part. You know, experience is sometimes hard to price, and that is really priceless. I mean, Shelly and I, you know, the listeners may not know, but we're only not even a block away from the distillery. And, you know, if we've had a long day, it is nice to kind of go and just kind of unwind from work and change our train of thought to other things. And the environment that you guys provide helps us do that.
It's comfortable.
Yeah.
You guys walked over here this morning, right?
We did. We thought we were going to get caught by the train, but it moved just in time.
So what's the best part of being in business? We've talked about the challenges, but what's your favorite thing? What's the best part?
We probably both have different ideas. To me, you know, I work in the back most of the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm back there working with all the machinery, all the grain, you know, making the spirits. And, you know, not to say you can't have a bad day in a distillery because you're back there making spirits every day. But if you ever start doubting yourself or having that kind of feel like you're having a bad day, man, you can always just walk through the door and walk up front and see everybody smiling and see everybody happy. And, man, that just re-energizes you and you just go back to work.
You're doing something positive that makes people happy. Yeah. What about you, Jill? What's your favorite part?
It kind of builds on that. And I've had two couples tell me this in the last week, but they have both told me, we love this place. We come here, they come weekly, and they said, we've never had a place before that feels like it's our place, that's really special, that we just look forward to coming in, and they make that time together to come in and just
do that.
And that's exactly what we wanted. And so I just love hearing that.
Yeah. That's a really good idea. You know, Shelly and I, we went one afternoon and didn't realize, I think it was the first evening that you guys hosted trivia. And we were getting ready to leave, and we thought, no, let's just stay and play trivia. And it was so fun and exciting.
Before we knew it, it was 9 o'clock at night.
and thank goodness you were closing, because it was like, okay, it's our bedtime. You know, it's time to go. I have a question in regards to a husband and wife team.
Uh-huh.
You know, I find it interesting that when you're married and you spend a lot of time together at home. What is it like working together? Like, have you guys learned a little bit more about one another, or do you feel like this is just kind of the path and you just work really well together? Do y'all, you know, what are your strengths and weaknesses? What are your challenges and what are the pros?
Well,
they look like they're afraid to answer.
I won't lie. It has been hard. It's hard to spend this much time together in a way that can be as stressful as opening a business.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else. And I feel like we're just now starting to move into a place where we can really start to clearly define our roles.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot of stepping on each other's toes and, you know, things that make it hard, because we really are three businesses in one. We're running a distillery, a restaurant, a retail area, and tasting bar. And so just really trying to define our roles and stay out of each other's lane has been probably the biggest challenge, you know. Just
and how long have you been married?
25 years.
Wow, 25 years, and just a year ago really kind of started going into business with one another. And would you say your marriage is stronger now than it has been ever?
Well, if you can get, there's some through things this. You can get through this. You can get through.
Children,
businesses, and yes. So.
I've always heard if you can build a house together and stay married, or raise children together and stay married. But I guess that's a third. If you can own a business together and stay married, my husband and I couldn't do it. There's absolutely no way.
Well, just never say never, Shelly. You never know.
I don't know. Renovated a house together.
Yeah, we did. We built a house and we've renovated two houses and we're still married. So I guess it'll be fine. Right. So what would you say, Brian? What do you think is the dynamics, you know, when you have a husband and wife team? What do you think?
I mean, I like the fact, you know, like she said, we've been married for 25 years. So I pretty much already know going in what it's going to be like, you know.
What other business partner would you know so much about?
I know, you know, how she functions. You know, we already know, you know, there's really no secrets there. We know how each other act, and we know how, you know, how to approach each other.
Yeah, that's definitely a pro to going into business with your partner, your significant other, is that, you know.
You need to know them. You need to trust them. And there's not many business partners you could say that about. Yeah. That's a good perspective. Anything else that you want the folks, the audience, to know about your business or about you, or anything that you want to share with them about the process?
I liked your point that it feels like a family-friendly place. And for people who haven't been in, I really want to encourage them to come check it out, because we are very family friendly. It's no different than going to any other restaurant in town. And a lot of people are surprised to learn that we even have an artisan spirit-free cocktail menu. So we have something for everybody. Of course, we want to sell our spirits, but we probably have the largest spirit-free cocktail menu.
You answered the question I was going to ask you. For those who don't want to consume alcoholic beverages, what do you have? And you just answered that. So.
Well, and I will say this. You guys know my daughter. She worked for you for a little while, Jill, and she is very quiet and introverted. And 25 years old, never been to a bar. I mean, she's been to a restaurant, but she loves your place because it's friendly and comfortable and comfy, and it's not that bar atmosphere. And so I think when people know that, you know, that they know what they're getting into and they feel comfortable there.
Another element too that maybe some folks don't know is that you're open for lunch.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So for the working crowd, if you're looking for a different place to go grab a quick bite to eat, they can stop by 1861 Distillery and grab some lunch. Are y'all open Monday through Saturday?
We are changing our hours next week. We're going to move to Wednesday through Saturday.
Okay, so Wednesday through Saturday.
But we open at 11:30 in the morning, and we're open until 9 at night. So.
Fantastic.
And y'all have done events for us when we've had visitors in town, and you take them on a little brief tour of the distillery and give them the information.
We love that.
And the visitors I've had here, we've had the industry roundtable there. We had the project managers from Atlanta. They all loved it. So you guys keep that in mind too. If you ever have an event, they do a great job with that.
So if someone did want to host an event that fell with outside of the new business hours, is that something that you guys are considering working with other, you know, like event or parties or things like that, Monday and Tuesday if you're not open?
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We've done that already, and we love doing that kind of thing too.
Well, we appreciate you guys, and we're thankful that you're here in Thomasville, and I brag on you guys all the time. We're getting a brewery now, but it's funny because a year or two ago when I was in Atlanta, somebody was asking me, do you have a brewery? Because, you know, that fits Thomasville. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, we went straight to liquor. We've got a distillery. So now we'll have both. We've got wine, we'll have brewery, we'll have a distillery, and I think they'll be very complimentary of each other. But thank you for your investment in our community.
Thank you for our investment. We're excited to have you guys. And I guess before we wrap up, one last question. What type of advice do you have for any of the new entrepreneurs that are up and coming in our community?
I think persistence. You know, persistence is the quality of winners. That's just, you have to have grit and persistence.
Know that it's going to be hard and you can't give up.
It will be hard. I don't know anybody that has started a business and has ever said that it's easy. So
that's great advice. That's another reoccurring theme from every single business owner that we've talked to.
And find your support. I mean, you all were great when we started, and that's one thing that's great about Thomasville. We found so many people, the council members, almost all of them, you all, you were willing to give up your busy time to come and talk to us and learn about what we're doing. You know, everybody gave us a chance. And,
yeah.
You know, they were willing to listen and support. So
well, that's what we're here for, but thank you. We appreciate it. So tune in for next time, and thank you, Brian and Jill, for being here today.
Yes. Well, thank you.